Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting. And terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM. Because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Happy 4th of July weekend. This period in American history is just to be enjoyed. And I'm upset because I don't see people enjoying it the way they should be. I don't see full panic. You know, they use those words in the headlines. They go, it's panic. It's full panic. It's a breakdown. But when you see people out, people should be ebullient and happy because you have to sit back and enjoy this particular period in our history. A senile man refuses to abdicate the presidency. He's being encouraged to stay in the race by his wife, a woman who at 55 years old got a doctorate of education and makes people call her doctor. She's not a doctor. She's no more of a doctor than I'm a doctor. His son, a crack addict who was just convicted on a gun charge, is encouraging him to stay in the race. His wife is saying, stay in the race. Everybody else is pulling out. Big money's pulling out. Abigail Disney, and I mean, fuck her too, but that big money, you know what I mean? What did she ever do? But she woke up with a bunch of money and she doesn't want to give it to this corpse anymore. And a lot of these people, a lot of these big Democratic fundraisers are pulling money from Joe Biden and he still refuses to leave. The senile president refuses to leave. You must enjoy it. You must sit back and enjoy it. Everyone saw this coming from not only a mile away. You know when you're landing at an airport and they say visibility is 10 miles? That means that from 10 miles away, you can see the landing strip. You can see the airport. You can see the runway. It's going to be okay. When visibility is 2 or 3 miles, everybody better focus. Visibility 9 or 10 miles out, you can see the runway. It's good. You're fine. Everybody could see this coming from 10 miles out. The media has been covering for Biden because they thought if they just covered, lied, shut up, and the campaign just dribbled him out for a press conference here, a State of the Union there, very scripted, very tightly controlled appearances, that he would never reveal the extent of his dementia and the country could be continued to be run by the people around Biden, primarily his advisors, people that we've heard of, people that we haven't heard of, but that the country would be run by people in the Democratic leadership, people behind the scenes, the military, interests that are defense related, and all of these people would be just, they were allowed to do whatever they wanted because the face of the operation, Scranton, Joe Biden from Scranton, PA, would be kept safe by the fact that everybody was lying. The media was lying. The citizenry was lying to themselves, which they have no problem doing. They're quite good at it. And that's what all the poison food is for, and the drugs and all the entertainment and the booze. All of that is to help you lie to yourself. Go, well, he's actually not that bad. He's actually pretty good. Well, for his age, he's pretty good. It's actually fine. It's good. I'll have another one. Get another one for him, too. I'll have another one. So they're very good at it. And we know the media is good at it. And then he came out and all open mouth, mouth agape, staring into headlights, just completely not there, a hollow husk of a person who had been that way in private for a long time and who, you know, they juiced him for the State of the Union and it worked. And drugs don't always work. I was a drug addict for many years. They don't always work. Do a nice close-up on that. This is the expression when drugs don't work. I've paid for a lot of drugs and they haven't been effective. And that's actually exactly how you look. I would be sitting somewhere on a couch in some crack house looking like that going, why isn't this thing working? Why isn't this pill working? You ever buy bad ecstasy in the early 2000s? I'm not talking about this liquid Molly or whatever the fuck these kids are doing now at Coachella. I'm talking about a pill with a little Mitsubishi logo etched in it and it doesn't even work. How does this not even work? Because you got fucked. So whatever they shot him up with, whatever fucking Pulp Fiction adrenaline shot they gave him through the fucking heart plate, chest plate, breastplate, whatever. As I said, I'm not a doctor. Jill is. But whatever, that didn't work here. It did for the State of the Union. He wasn't great. He was still showing signs of, if we were an honest society, we are not. But if we were, you would watch the State of the Union and go, he's too old. But even me watched the State of the Union and go, they have got him on supersonic drugs, something, whatever technology the DARPA has, that alien technology that they're going to use against China in, I don't know, 2 months when we get in a war. But whatever they have, I imagine that the pharmaceutical industry had things that were similar to that that we didn't know about, drugs that, you know, and I was thinking that they were going to put him on those. It didn't work. He's gone. He's gone. He's not even there. So I was at a barbecue. I was at a few barbecues out in the Hamptons talking to people. And I was basically, you know, the Hamptons is largely lots of Democrats. Yeah, that, Andrew Schultz, very nice having me there. And Little Mabu, who's a rapper, drill rapper. Nice guy, doing very well. He said that it's less violent, the drill rap now. I asked him, I said, is it still a lot of the killing? He said, it's less of that. And then he said, because that life, he's like, yo, it's like, it's either death or jail. That's how like it ends. And I'm like, good point. So, but there was a woman there, a white lady at the barbecue. She goes, I love drill rap. And I think it's Eric Adams doesn't like drill rap. He blames the drill rap, but I love her rap. Just a white lady, a liberal white woman with a glass of wine. I like drill rap. It's good. It gets people, these kids from the Bronx, it gets them exercising, and it's important. But drill rap, of course, is, you know, has its benefits, I'm sure, but also is quite violent. It is, and, you know, unfortunately. But I was there and I was talking to people and this couple had gone to the Biden fundraiser a few days after the State of the Union. He had a fundraiser in the Hamptons and they went to it. There was like 150 people, big money, big Democratic donors out in East Hampton at a house. They all show up. They show up early. They're standing there in the humidity. Jill Biden goes up on stage and does a meandering speech about nothing, about how him and her used to date and how he, I mean, this is, it couldn't be less relevant to what's going on. Jill Biden gets up in the backyard of a humid Hamptons estate and starts babbling about how Joe, when he, you know, asked me out the first time, and all these sweaty billionaires are standing there. And, it, you know, the Hamptons is not, you know, Malibu. It's not like all these ripped retards. It's actually quite smart, somewhat chubby, sweaty billionaires. You know, guys in pink shirts sweating through them that are kind of angry, you know. And they're standing in the back with their wives, and their wives are, you know, it's, again, they're doing the best they can. Everyone's doing the best they can. They're, some of these people are attractive for sure, and a lot of them are, you know, rich. And they're standing there in this humid Hamptons backyard. Maybe they're eating a lobster roll, or maybe they're staring, and they're sweating in the humidity. And then Jill Biden, can you imagine this? Because, by the way, none of the people in this backyard think the Bidens Imagine, remember student council? No one respected the student council president and no one cared. That's the way they feel about the actual pres. They don't really care. It doesn't mean anything to them. These people have billions of dollars. They travel privately. They have businesses. It's not, oh my God, it's the president. They all want something from the president. They're concerned about the optics of the way the country looks because they're doing business as an American. So they don't want the president necessarily, drooling or something like that. But they're not impressed by the sheer fact that the president, you know, maybe Obama, because he was cool, and they were like, whoa, he's cool, and he's young, and he's cool. This is, no one respects these people, is what I'm saying. They're from Delaware, they're from Pennsylvania, but they live in Delaware. Everybody's nervous and worried here, and all of these guys are. It's like student council. It's like, okay, we got to sit through this. We have to sit through this, and what the fuck's this going to be? Because they all just saw the debate. It's not the quarterback. The president's not really treated like the quarterback. You know, out there, it's like the student council president, where you go, this guy, we need it, kind of. We don't know why. They don't really know why. Those people that are so rich out there are kind of like, we need the appearance of a president, but they don't know why. It's like, if you're a really cool, popular, if you're anyone really in high school, you don't really know what the student council does, but you know that it goes on some kid's college letter that he was a student council president. So these people in the Hamptons they're kind of confused as to why we need a president in general, let alone one with dementia. They don't really get it. So they're standing in the backyard, but they understand what they all understand in that backyard, 150 of them in that sweaty, humid backyard in East Hampton. They all understand one thing, and that thing is lying. They understand the importance of lying. There's an art to it, how it needs to be done, what lies people can swallow, big lies and little lies. They're all well-versed in that. They do it to their wives. They do it to their shareholders. They do it to their children. They do it to their investors. They do it to other people. They do it to everyone they meet. And in large part, that's why they're successful. They're able to create a version of reality that works for them, and then they give it to other people. They go, this is the way it is. They give it to them. They go, here it is. Chew on it. And most people know it's kind of a lie, but they give up. You give up halfway through. You go, well, it doesn't really seem like it's true. And you're chewing and chewing. Oh, I guess it's fine. He's got reasons for saying what he does. Like, so they're all standing there. Jill Biden comes up, gives this meandering speech about nothing. She doesn't, you know, she's not a compelling speaker. She's a very vicious woman to keep her husband in this race, to keep him doing this. He's a puppet, and they're just taking him out of Air Force One and putting him on a stage. And the reason they all want to do this, by the way, is this family, immediately when he steps down, Kamala steps up. It's a bloodbath. Trump wins. And the rest of their lives, the rest of these people's lives, are scorn, and deservedly so. He could have given a speech 2 years ago very patriotically and said, I will not be seeking re-election. And then Kamala, he could have stepped down. She would have been the president. She could have said, I'm not going to seek re-election either. And then they could have had an open Democratic primary. Whatever you think of the Democratic Party or him or her or whatever, all of this was avoidable. The reason that he has to stay in the race and they are hoping that he just wins is because the other side is unfathomable to these people. They are, forget the legal consequences of whatever they may be embroiled in, which could be substantial. Outside of that, they are scorned. They cannot go anywhere on earth without being the people that handed the country back to Trump. And some people would thank them. Some people would probably say thank you, but a lot of people that don't think that's a good idea, don't want Trump back, are going to hold the Bidens personally responsible for the rest of their lives. These people are terrified of that. The idea of going down in history, what's a better story? This dementia patient somehow wins. It's a very Hollywood, this is all very Hollywood. It's almost mimicking a movie from the 90s. In the 90s, there were all these movies about the president, kind of like there was a movie called Dave where the president's double, you know, and then there was a movie called The American President with Michael Douglas. There were all these great movies about, you know, regular people becoming the president, the president being switched out. And Jill Biden's like, this could be a great movie from the time when she remembered movies where this really old guy gets elected to a second term and vanquishes Trump. And what a better story than what is almost inevitable, which is a Trump bloodbath. Again, a better story to the Bidens, where this guy is completely 100% at fault for this. He is 100% at fault for losing the White House for the Democrats. And I was at this thing and I was talking to people, and the country's kind of become a circus. It's become something, and I was, you know, I'm in this backyard. I have this woman, this white lady drinking, you know, wine, talking about the virtues of drill rap in the backyard in East Hampton. Okay? I love this drill rap. This is good. And the Mabu kid, who's a very nice kid, was like, yeah, yeah, it's hard. It goes hard or whatever, you know, whatever it is. It's, you know, it's lovely. It's great. And she's there, and her husband goes, and her husband's a lovely man. He shows me his house, and I mean, it's stunning, this home. He did a great job. Then he goes, I developed a building in L.A. You live in L.A.? And I said, oh, cool. Which one? And then he goes, and then it's the building that threatened to sue me for what I was saying about it that I lived in. So I just quieted down. I pivoted really quick. I'm very good at the pivot. I just kind of got a crab cake. I go, the food is good. And the food's never that good in the Hamptons. It's never that good. But it's always good enough to just say, the food is good. But it's never really that good. But the thing about the Hamptons is the products are good. The tomatoes are good. The vegetables are good. The produce is good. You know, but the actual food is just fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But it was very funny. He goes, I developed a building. And I go, which one? And he goes, this one. And it was the one that I had lived in, the one that Steve Bing had jumped out of the window, the one that I had been very vocal about my, and they didn't really threaten to sue me, but I don't know. There was some back channel. They were unhappy with my kind of, you know, discussion of the building. They didn't like it. So I left it out. I just went, oh, zip the, you know, oh, the food is, have you had the, you should try the swordfish skewer. Have you had the skewer? But it's to be enjoyed. You must enjoy it. You got to sit back, relax. You can't, the country's become a little bit of a circus. And I realized that, you know, we're standing in the backyard. It's not the time to be enraged that the Hawk Tua girl has been signed to a talent. It's not. It's really the time to start doing stuff with her, work with her, find her, become her friend. It's not, you're not going to get anything out of being in a state of indignation about the circus that we've built here. Trust me. And I want this to be kind of a shift because everyone's doing doom and gloom now. I'm actually going the other way. I'm going positive because all these people who've discovered apocalyptic lingo in the last week are bothering me. All these people that are like, oh my God, it's really over, isn't it? I'm like, we've known this for years. But it's not there. It's fashionable now for them. It's fashion for them to talk about, you know, it's not even being cynical or anything. It's just they're literally looking at reality. For the first time, a lot of people in this country are actually looking at reality, truly. And not head on looking at it, but peering at it. Peering through the blinds at what most people have been looking at for years, the terminal kind of decline of this empire. But I don't think there's anything to be gained from the very knee-jerk reaction. Like, you know, my family's over my house. I love, you know, my family to a degree. And they're there and they're first of all, they're also behind. Like, They're talking about NFTs being bullshit 2 years later, 3 years later, 4 years later. I mean, how long? What are these NFTs? These NFTs don't make no sense. I'm like, guys, you are so years late on this. These NFTs don't make no sense. What are these NFTs? I don't even understand what they are. What are these things? I'm like, well, it doesn't even matter. It's digital ownership and a blockchain. What are we even doing here? But my point is, like, these people should not be, they should be trying to learn from scams to get into the next one. Haven't you lived in this country long? These are boomers. Haven't you lived in this country long enough to know that you should just be looking at the scam with a little bit of reverence and trying to figure out when the next one's coming? There's nothing to be gained from sitting around doing a postmortem on a scam you weren't even a part of. You didn't make or lose anything in it. What are these NFT? What are they doing over there? These NFT. It's not, you can't get angry. You know how many people have said to me, that Hawk Tua girl, she just got signed to a talent agent. Can you believe this? Where have you all been? No, I'm literally, I can't believe it. I'm standing in these meadows, in these fields, with these people that have been gone to Harvard. They went to Yale. They went all these schools. They went to Princeton. Their family's been rich forever. They know everything about everything. They've paid all of the money to all of these institutions to get all of the pieces of paper and documents you would need to show that you are bright. And they come up to me and they go, can you believe the Hawk Tua girl was signed to a talent agency? Yeah, I can. I'm shocked it took this long. And why didn't you sign her? That's the point. That's the stage we're at. Not to be indignant about, can you believe? Can you believe? Yeah, I can believe it. I can believe it. The biggest rapper at this party is the white prep school kid. I can believe, and God bless him, but yes, I can believe that the girl who said one thing drunkenly in Nashville? Where was she?
Nashville. Yeah.
Yeah. The girl who walked out of the honky tonk and said, I spit on a dick, essentially, is now one of the most famous people in the world. I can believe that. And there's nothing to be gained from getting upset about that or being surprised about it. I took friend of mine who's in the producer, is a media kid. He's a younger gentleman, but he's kind of a black-eyed, you know, somewhat nihilistic rich kid who grew up in New York. He's kind of over everything. And, you know, a lot of these rich kids that grow up in New York, their lives have no stakes and very little meaning. They just kind of, they're passionless people. They kind of drift around from thing to another thing. And they've been to all continents on the earth, you know. I go to this kid's Instagram. There's like pictures of him, like, you know, just on elephants with poachers in Alaska. You know, not in Africa. You know, he's walking. You know what I mean? These people. It's not like he saw my house. He's like, oh, this is really good. You know what I mean? Like, you know that? Oh, good for you. Good for you. He's like, this is not, because it's cute. Tim, it's cute. It's a cute little house. Whereas, you know what I mean? Like, he was staying in a house with a bowling alley and all these things and sunken tennis court. I mean, they're just, they don't. So anything, it's not like if I showed one of my friends that I grew up with my house, they're like, this is a fucking palace. This is a palace. But this kid was like, oh, good. Oh, it's good for you. Oh, this is nice. Like, they always have that cadence of like, it's nice. But, you know, and I always wanted to be one of these people when I grew up, and I kind of don't anymore, because you see they're all kind of dead-eyed little monsters. They're husks of people. They're just trying to feel something, and they can't because they've been dulled by money. It's such a, and I'm not trying to be insulting either. I like this kid a lot. But he, to his credit, has a lot of the right reactions to things now because he's a dead-eyed nihilist husk of a person who can't feel. And again, I say this with no malice. I think this is a good thing. Follow me. It's a good thing I'm saying. because nothing, you know, they wander around, these kids, from like one party in a townhouse to another party in a limestone mansion. They stand there, they blow some coke up their nose. Someone's dad's complaining that their, you know, their oligarch's friend's boat got taken by fucking, you know, so no, we can't do the boat thing on Saturday because of the fucking Ukraine or whatever. And, you know, there's nothing impresses these kids. They are not excited about much. And this is not the only one of them I've met. And when they're in the car, like they'll be in my car and we'll be driving. And they're early to mid 20s and, you know, and even their late 20s. They don't change. It doesn't matter. It could be in their early 40s. It could be my age, 39. It doesn't matter. They don't become a different thing. But they'll be in the car and they always recognize everyone in the Hamptons. Like a pickup truck will drive by with three people in it and they don't even look at the thing. They know who the person is. They don't even look at it. And they'll just go, "That's Grover Wellington. I know him." They look straight ahead. They're so dead-eyed. It's like a Stephen King movie. They don't look at the perp, but they just know. They can feel the vibration of another scion of nothingness drive by, and he'll be like, it's always like, that's Grover Wellington. I knew him. And they're all 80, these people, these kids in their early 20s and mid-20s, and they're all 100, and they're ageless. They're like little stone gargoyles. They just perch on a building and then they come alive every day. But he had the right reaction. I brought him to a few of these things and he got in the car and he goes, "The country's a circus." He goes, we're really deeply fucked. And I said, yeah. And he had the right reaction to it. But what was good is that, you know, what's good about those kids is they don't then follow it up with some emotional, you know, they just get it. It's just, this is what it is, and I'm still going to thrive in the ruins, which is what people have to do out there. And everyone's having this awakening that, like, oh, and we've been lied to on a level we can't even imagine every day, all the time, about everything. If they can trot out this guy, and then the AP can write an article, which I loved, which was, "Biden is sharp and smart, but occasionally confused." Like, if they can still, after that debate performance, still try to lie. They had this great article. I put it on my Instagram, actually. It's so unreal that most of the press, Associated Press, Biden at 81, sharp and focused, but sometimes confused and forget. There it is. So now you are realizing the lying is just out of control. And you listen, you can intellectually know that the hook to a girl does not possess talent. Here's why that doesn't matter. And here's why you shouldn't be surprised by it. She wants to pursue a career in comedy. People are coming up to me. They go, "Can you believe she wants to pursue a comedy career?" Of course, yes. And let her. Open for her. I know people that are more than beyond fucked in this. They're going, "Can you believe the hawk to a girl? You better get on her tour now." Of course she shouldn't. No attention should be paid to her, but there inevitably will be. So what good? You can't be that guy at the party all the time who's like, "Can you believe this? Can you believe?" Yes, we all can. What did you expect? What country are you living in? What entertainment business do you think you're a part of? Have you met anyone in the entertainment business? Have you spoken to any of them? Do you have even a casual understanding of their beliefs? Do they? Of course, I want her on the show. Email someone. Get her. Get this bitch. I'm telling you right now, I'm sick of missing out on these people. If she's going to be hot for 30 days, get her. I always wait too long, and then they throw these people in the street. I'm not going to talk about this story, but I will eventually. This young kid who, before the pandemic, got killed in London. He was pretending to be a Russian oligarch's son, and they threw him off a building into the Thames River. It was this great story, and I felt so bad for him because he just wanted to be this rich, Russian oligarch's son, and then he got, you know, involved with these shady people in London, and they threw him. Zach Brettler, 19, died after jumping to his death. Now, here's the thing. He did jump. He did jump. But the circumstances around his death are very shady. You know, all these people, there was a show called Ladies of London on Bravo. One of the guys, Scott Young, was a real estate developer who was featured on the show. He also jumped and got impaled outside of a building in London. A lot of Scott Young's friends, also real estate developers who've gotten involved with the Russian gangsters, jump out of buildings and end up impaled. There's a lot of suicide and depression amongst real estate developers who get into shady deals with members of the Russian underworld in London. And because London is so dependent on the Russian oligarch, largesse, and Russians are very good at what they do in terms of getting rid of people, none of these cases are ever prosecuted. None of them ever rise to the court system. You never, you know, they'll be written about in the press. And this is just a 19-year-old kid who, right before the pandemic, again, ended up in the Thames River pretending to be a Russian oligarch. There's such a seedy, shady underworld in London. It's so sexy and cool. And there's something about it that I've always, you know, I've just always really loved that city. And I love it even more. And, like, this guy just pretending to be a Russian oligarch's son and getting... And he was kind of in shape. And, like, this is my the life I should have had, truly. The life I should have had is, like, this kid who was just thrown into the Thames River at 19. And I feel bad for his parents. But I was reading that last night. We were in a little traffic. I was heading back to New York City. I was in a little traffic on the way, and I was reading this story. And people had sent me this a bunch, and I'd read it. I think I'd read it before. I might have even spoke about it, but he spent his final evening with a gangster and a crypto investor. Oh, my God. To get better than that. Can you believe? Can you imagine if I was one of those guys? Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Can you believe it? He's my, if I went into the river. Can you believe it? Imagine that. Imagine being that guy walking around London being like, can you believe how expensive it is here? No one seems British. What? The learning curve is so, and you're going to have to be patient with your family and friends because the learning curve is so, they're so behind. Now, listen, if Trump wins, some members of my family are going to have to go to jail. They are. And I don't love that, but let me tell you one thing. Can I say one thing? Can I speak freely? I have seen people turn their lives around in prison. I've seen people get in shape, find Islam. Members of my family who've long believed that when Trump wins, he's going to put them in jail, maybe they will go to jail. But I have seen people, the personal growth I've seen people make in prison is unreal. It's unreal. And I believe that my family that happened, maybe they happen to be incarcerated if he wins, I believe come out of this better. To be honest, I do. I believe they come out of it better. I can't imagine they put Kamala in this, but I don't think they have a choice. They will get around. I was talking to a few people. This is all inside info this whole hour, by the way. Insider info that everyone knows, by the way. Insider info that everyone can kind of surmise. But I've talked to people who are kind of big DNC people. They go, we can get around. Because I had believed that if it wasn't Biden and Kamala, they had to give back all the money. That's what people were saying. However, some DNC people were like, hey, we can get around that. We just put a bunch of lawyers in a room. And whoever we decide to run, we can give them all the donate. Because everybody donated to the Biden-Harris campaign. All these sweaty whales in the Hamptons, you know, these pink shirt, sweaty whoever, private equity hedge fund people who also probably donated it to Trump. They like stacking the deck. But the reality is all of these people donated to something called the Biden-Harris campaign, which doesn't exist. One of them is senile, and the other one is gypsy curses, as I talked about a long time ago. So there is no Biden-Harris campaign at this point. There's just an old guy being led around, and everyone everywhere goes, get out! Get out of the race! So They've raised $127 million in June, including $38 million after unsteady debate. They're raising a lot of money. Now, who is, by the way, I mean, do you realize how rich you have to be to donate to that guy after that debate? Do you know how rich you have to be to donate money to that guy after that debate? The Vegas odds on that guy are plummeting. But I'll tell you this. They're going to find a way to reallocate all of that money to whoever they run. And it might be Gavin Newsom, which will be a big disaster. And it might be Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, who faked her own kidnapping and talks about faking her own kidnapping. That's literally all she does. And I don't think that's going to work for them. I think that's going to be a big disaster.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is a fun story here. Plane diverted after passengers served spoiled food on a Delta flight. Let's be honest. Delta is cratering as an airline. It's one of the worst. I don't know what has happened to Delta. When I was growing up, people respected Delta. All of our American carriers are not great. However, you know, the Polaris, first class, United internationally is fine. American is fine, you know. But Delta, I don't know what's going on at Delta, but Delta seems to be, now we've all shit on United, but because we're all so accustomed to shitting on United, we're not surprised. And United actually, because we expect nothing, actually does okay half the time. Delta served rotted food. They served moldy meals to people. Were these people in first or economy?
They haven't said. It was dozens of meals were handed out mold.
Okay. Show the video of this gentleman. Now, they had to divert the plane because of this, because people got sick?
Yeah, at least 12 people got sick.
People are getting sick because of mold. Where was the flight going?
Detroit to Amsterdam.
Wow. So this is an international flight. Mm-hmm. You're leaving Detroit or you're going to Amsterdam. How many people are doing that? But isn't that an interesting route? So okay. You're leaving Detroit. You're going to Amsterdam. And you're given this disgusting moldy food from Delta. And then everybody starts getting sick. Does anyone notice? Nobody notices the mold. The people are handing this out. The flight attendants, no one's noticing.
Yeah, listen to this. We'll watch. Okay. This is one of these people. It's amazing. Insane.
Spoiled supper. Newly obtained images appear to show the chicken a la mold that somehow got onto Delta Flight 136. After some passengers were served bad food, the flight from Detroit to Amsterdam made an emergency landing in New York Wednesday morning.
Howard, can you confirm the status of medical personnel at our gate?
They should be standing by.
It wasn't good.
These passengers were on board.
There was these, like, two black spots that almost looked like burnt cheese. And I thought it was just something different. And
see, by the way, this is what, these are the same people who are shocked that Biden is old. Do you understand what I mean? This is what we have here. This is what we have. This is what we've, these are the people that are walking around this country. I looked at a black mold and I thought it was something different. That's what they said. So these are the people we're expecting to realize that the president is, it's weekend at Bernie's. So these people only knew they were eating mold after they had started vomiting. This is a perfect allegory for this country. There's not a better story, by the way, for this country than people on a Delta flight from Detroit to Amsterdam, a pointless route that we don't even know why it exists. But let's give people the benefit and the doubt. There are births, there are deaths, there are things that people need to do. There are companies, there are businesses. There is family, there is whatever. There is, people love Amsterdam. I get it. Weed, weed, drugs, drugs. All right, maybe it's making more sense. The point is, they're going to Amsterdam. It's so funny going to Amsterdam. Everybody's on drugs. You're like, it seems fun here, and then landing in Detroit and going, well, we didn't handle it as well, did we? They're all there, and they're all eating toxic black mold and sludge just because they believe in Delta. Imagine believing in Delta. Imagine thinking that Delta had your best interests at heart, or that Delta wouldn't lie to you, or that they wouldn't let their food rot and then serve it to you immediately, or that, by the way, some of these flight attendants might have seen it when, fuck these people, I hope they get sick, and I hope they die. But that's a great point. This is America. People are sitting there, like, well, the president was confused, and he was wandering around, couldn't really find the podium. We just thought it was something different. We just thought it was something different. There was a black mold over the president's face, and his eyes seemed like they were just fixed in his skull by a puppet maker. His skin was wrapped so tightly around his face. We just thought it was something different. Is there any more of this guy? I love him and his wife.
Yeah, I think so right here.
And I guess that turned out to be the black mold.
One girl said that she did eat the chicken and she didn't finish it because it tasted really, really sour.
Delta 136, can you confirm that none of the pilots ate any of the food?
The pilots were fine, but at least 12 passengers were evaluated by paramedics at JFK Airport. None were taken to the hospital. But for the second day in a row, Delta has pulled all meals except a pasta dish from the economy cabin on 75 international flights as a precaution. The airline says it is investigating and sincerely apologizes to the passengers, who are all offered compensation and rebooked on later flights.
The problem with everything now is that you're either a QAnon nut, where you go, everybody's a clone, nothing's real, and nothing exists. Or you're one of these people who will eat mold because the flight attendant at Delta gave it to you. There needs to exist a third group of people who are smart enough to realize that there are certain things that you should accept as part of reality. And there are other things that you should question. When the president is making no sense, he's babbling, he seems like a confused older man sitting in a McDonald's. Yes, that is something that you immediately question when someone hands you a meal on a Delta flight that is, to the eye, black mold. You see it. You don't go, oh, maybe it's something different. You know, there seems to be, you know, the only hope is that third group of people, the people that will go down the rabbit hole into full schizophrenia, aren't helpful, because those are people that will be like, is this even a plane? That we don't need. But we also don't need people that blindly accept authority. And that's part of the problem. Blindly accept authority. Those people in the Hamptons, they know it's bullshit. They're just seeing if this guy can pull it off. They don't really care if he's competent or not. They know he's not running the country. They've done well enough in the country to know how it's run. They've done well enough to know how it's run. They might like the optics of having a president. I'm sure they do. In the same way that they like the optics of being the CEO of their company. But they've done well enough and made enough money, too. They don't freak out. They're going to bed tonight and they're sleeping relatively easily because they know that this is all not resting on Biden's shoulders. They know there's an apparatus. In the same way that they know if they die tomorrow, their company doesn't fall into a pit. They know that there might be a power struggle. There's a board. There's other things. It's an institution, a lot of them, right? They know that the United States of America is not one old guy, but they know it's bad optics. They know it looks bad. They know they can't have it. It's a lot of the people that I worry about who, because of their own lack of intelligence, they're fully shocked by everything. I don't think you can be surprised by everything. I think it's actually a bad way to live. I can't believe the president is like, he's like old. And this girl who said she was going to hawk to it, spit on the dick. She's making her famous now. I'm surprising. I don't think you can be surprised by it. I don't. You know, when that girl, Danielle Bregoli, on Dr. Phil, threatened to fight the audience member, told her mother, fuck you and everything, became Bad Baby, a big rapper. She's pretty decent. And now she started an OnlyFans, and she's, like, rich. What's her net worth? What is the girl from Dr. Phil's net worth, just to make everybody in the listening right now have a stroke?
25.
The girl who told her mother on Dr. Phil, fuck you. And I think her mother brought her to Dr. Phil because she was a junkie and a criminal.
Oh, she made 52 last year.
Yeah, she made $52 million on OnlyFans. The country is a circus. I mean, there's nothing to be done. This was a girl, like, remember we all grew up with, like, Jenny Jones and Ricky Lake and Phil Donahue and this fun 90s trash TV and Maury and Jerry Springer. And they would bring kids like this on quite frequently, and they would say they have a problem. They're not listening to me. They're staying out late. They're drinking, drugging, having sex. They're not respecting the rules of my house. And all of these kids would be like, yo, fuck you, mom. I do what I want. This is no different. This girl did all of that. And now she's a bona fide multi-millionaire celebrity because she's a good rapper, decent, for what she is. Not great. She's not Remy Ma or something. People think I don't know about rap. I know everything about rap. Everything about it. But I have two Bentleys. What do you think? I don't know about rap. And the leather in them is insane. It's insane. These people in the Hamptons, they all drive these old Land Rover, these old things, like these little military vehicles. None of these people have ever served in a war. Their little war is going down the street in this like little armored old Range Rover. Because, you know, Range Rovers were British military vehicles. They're in this armored little Range Rover thing that looks like something that you would drop the Jews off at the camp, but instead the Jews are now in them and they're driving these armored things to the beach. You know, come on. But I have this Persian white Bentley with this red, white leather seats. It's so silly looking. And people look at me like, ugh, gross, because I'm a Persian Jew. That's the difference. I live like a Beverly Hills Persian Jew with a big furry puss. I got a big furry pussy. No, you'll never get it. It's cricket ball leather. You'll never be able to pull it up. Oh, there it is. Go up.
Oh, right here. Yeah.
There it is. No, but it's red. I don't have the white seats.
You have more trim than that. Yeah.
No, it's mine is so Persian, so over the top, so Persian Jew. When I get in my car, immediately to start my car, I have to say Hamas embeds himself with civilians for it to even start. It won't even start unless I say that. I have to look at who's ever in my car, or even if I'm alone, I have to go, Hamas embeds itself with the civilian population. What do you want us to do? And then the car turns on. My point is that I look like a disgusting slug out there, and that's fine. I'm not LARPing as a military person, these people. They're all into these old things. Like, Schultz actually has a cool one. Yes, I'm called a Suzuki. It's like a fun little one. Which I like, or a samurai. Schultz is a samurai, which is cool. But a lot of these people, they're in the old, and some of these old Broncos, they cost so much fucking money, it's the same, you know? My point is that it's an interesting vantage point to see what's happening to the country now, because you want to be like that little dead husk I was spending time with, little husk. Because that little dead husk understands truly that there's nothing to be gained from perpetual shock and awe. You have to accept things as they are. You have to find a way to figure it out. You can't be like the people on the Delta flight eating the mold chicken. But you can't also spin out into complete insanity and start screaming and yelling, I don't know, about flat earth or whatever people are going on about. I think the world's not flat, but even if it was, who cares? Does anything matter less? What is wrong with people? It's like aliens. What do you think about aliens? I don't give a fuck. It doesn't matter. It's meaningless to me. Well, what if there are aliens out there? So if you're going to invest yourself in something, invest yourself in something that has any bearing on your life, please. What are these NFTs? I don't understand these NFTs. These NFTs, what are these NFTs? What are these NFTs? Guys, what are we 3 years ago? You people should be Googling them and lining up so that when the next scam comes around. The problem with the boomers is they were every scam they got in, they were just given the thing. They had cheap real estate. They were all kind of given jobs. They were juiced into everything. 401ks, all these things. They didn't have to cultivate any scam. They all looked down on like scammers. Everything they got was so easy that, you know, my aunt, who I love, but she goes, you know, a member of my family was going, I don't want to work this summer anymore. I feel like I miss time with my children. And then she goes, you know, my boss doesn't even want to work in the summer. I go, right, but he's the boss. He gets to not work. He gets to not work. He's the boss. Then my aunt's like, I know you shit on boomers all the time, but we worked every day. And then she looked at, she was talking to her daughter. She goes, you know, your generation is so smart. They just said jump and we said how high. And her point was that the boomers, and imagine this, the boomers just worked their whole lives and never questioned it. And they just slaved and toiled in the field, the boomer. They were in the factory toiling. These people had the easiest jobs known to man. They sat their fat asses in air-conditioned offices and ate lunch. That's what the majority of them did. And don't message me on Instagram if like, not my boomer daddy. He was in the mines. Yeah. Well, then we don't mean him. Dumb. Sedentary work. I know it's disgusting, but I have allergies. The Hamptons, you get allergies. Sedentary work was the whole boomer thing. Car to office. This is what these people complain about, that they would go into an air-conditioned office and would sit there, and immediately, as soon as they sat down, they would start talking about what they were eating for lunch. Immediately. It would be the first thing they started discussing, okay? And then they would eat lunch, and then immediately they would start talking about where they were going for cocktails on Friday, for happy hour. Immediately. I worked around these people. These were the least productive workforce that has ever been assembled under one roof, these people. They said jump. We said how high we always went into our jobs, and we slaved all day working for you so that you could have a better life. How's that working? I mean, it's just hearing these people complain about they had the easiest jobs. It's the easiest jobs in the entire world. They would sit in like an air-conditioned office, and then they would go to a meeting. This is how lazy these people were and how entitled they were. They would complain about like going to a meeting, which would be like you would just go to a room and sit there. It was like an assembly at school where you'd sit there and somebody would talk. We all liked assemblies. You got out of class. You're sitting there. We didn't care what they were. They'd bring some idiot in who's like, don't rape each other. Don't do drugs, you know? Whatever. Support the IDF. Whatever the assembly was. I don't know. Whatever the assembly was, you were out of class. At least you were out of class. We used to have meetings. The boomers talk about, they're like, yeah, it's meetings. We used to have to go to these meetings and sit there. And these people would just, they would all have coffee and they'd put creamers in it, French vanilla, amaretto, all these creamers. They would just sit in the back. And then somebody would drone on, and they would really feel. And the boomers, every problem they have at their jobs is they all comes down to the fact that the CEO of the company wasn't them. Like, no one handed them the whole company. No one handed them the thing. Like, nobody came like, nobody's like, excuse me, will Cheryl please come to my office? And then you would walk in, and he'd go, and the company is yours. That's the only problem that they had. They said jump. We said how high? Good. It's a job. It's what you should do. Hunter Biden joins White House meetings post-debate to be close to pot. This is time for Hunter to get in. You can do it. You know they're playing Eye of the Tiger? They're Biden's like, he's like shadow boxing in his living room. They're playing Eye of the Tiger. By the way, now that I'm hearing that they're having these meetings and they're convincing Biden to stay in, is Hunter the only one on drugs or is the whole family on drugs? Maybe everyone's on drugs. Is he the only one that's on drugs? It seems unlikely that he'd be the only one on drugs. Can we get Biden up?
This is Hunter this week while his dad's giving a speech.
He's good.
Zoned out.
Bring the war to a swift end. The risk of this mission and the risk of all this mission were enormous. Could bring the war to a swift end.
Listen to this guy.
The risk of this mission and the risk of all this mission were enormous.
I mean, the risk of this mission and the risk of all this mission. The risk of all this mission? Mm-hmm. The risk of this mission. See, Hunter's got his dead eyes right on Daddy because he knows what these people were involved with in the Ukraine, what they've done. What they've probably done in China, I don't know. But this family is not like a family who... Well, number one, Biden was supposed to be the president in the 80s, and then he was outed as like a plagiarist. He like lied about it. He was getting, all these speeches were lies. He was making everything up. So the Biden family is terrified about what comes next after this guy's out. I believe, this is what I believe, prediction time. And I'm always right about these predictions. As soon as they're out, it will be a feeding frenzy. They have to dig deeper and stay in longer and try to do it. And now, obviously, they're going to try to force them out, and they should be out. But the reason the family has now felt the media turn on them, the media has been protecting them up until now. The media has been really covering for them. The media has shown very little interest in this family because they hate Trump so much. They've shown, like, very little interest in, like, why this guy is working for a gas company in the Ukraine, what the videos on that laptop were, what's going on. Like, the media covered for these people. They suppressed on Twitter the story about this guy's laptop. They've run interference for this family. And now the media, because the media goes, we'll save whatever shred of credibility we have left, which is none. But they go, in their minds, they have a little. And they do, in the sense that this is a narrative like most people are not having the right reaction to this, which is, yeah, of course. They're being like, can you believe? Oh, my God. Wow. We all just found out a thing. And now the media is doing the right thing because they all just found out. No. The media has lied about it. Everyone has lied to you. This is an op. This has all been preordained. They all realized pretty quickly that they could no longer put this corpse after that debate. It was talking points went out like, we got to throw him over the boat. We got to throw him off the boat, over the, whatever it is. What's the term? Throw him off the boat, over the thing.
Over the bow?
Yeah, I don't know, but probably. The point is, now that they're doing all of this, the media now is going to sink their teeth into the Biden family personally. Personally. Because the media now has to try to save face, and the Bidens know it. Jill Biden knows. She goes, we will never have a day of peace, and they won't. Jill Biden goes, we will never have a day of peace unless we can win this election. We will never have a day of peace because we've delivered the country to Trump. The media will hound us. They will open up every can of worms, everything that we've hidden as a family. Everything that they've probably done. I mean, this woman, Jill Biden, I'm now wondering, was she in the car that killed his first wife? Like, you know, let's look at all of that. Let's look at all that. Maybe she was the one that put the other one in the burn pit. My point is that they know what happens now. They know what comes next. The media has a taste for blood. They're going to never let these people have a day of peace. And they have to. This guy, the father, Jill, that is an unholy, alliance right there with Hunter, Jill, and the father, and they're all going, everything, it's like, you ever watch like old gangster movies or whatever where it's basically some version of like, I can protect you here. If you stay here, you're protected. If you leave, you're not protected. I can protect you here. I can ensure your safety here. But if you go somewhere else, I can't ensure. That, to these people, is the White House. I can ensure your safety if you're here in the White House, if you have the power of the presidency behind you. But when you leave, they're going to tear you to shreds and rip you apart. So this guy is willing. She also wants him to die. She wants the old man to die. Jill's trying to kill him. And let me explain to you why. I'll tell you why she's trying to kill her husband. And by the way, a lot of people, people say to me all the time, they're like, why does this family act like this? I know full well about families who try to kill you. I know that. I know them. I've been in one. My friends are in them. I know she wants the old man to die. She wants him to die for two main reasons. Number one, the story will die with Biden. If he just dies in office, it becomes a thing where the media is not going to go after the guy if he's in the grave. Some enterprising journalist down the road will. They'll write a whole thing. But if he just croaks, it'll be a good end. She wants him to die. She's pushing him so that he dies. If he dies, obviously it's better if he wins, but also if he dies, whatever they're terrified of will go away for a period of time. That's the first reason she's trying to kill him and wants him to die. The second reason she's trying to kill her husband, okay, is because as a widow, her public image can now be rehabilitated as a widow. She is now correctly being looked at as a monstrous villain. If he dies, she can then go out on the Sunday show circuit. She'd go on The View. And like Jackie Kennedy, but let's not compare Jill Biden to Jackie Kennedy, please. Can we please, my producer just pulled up Jackie Kennedy. Can we please, for the love of God, not compare Jill Biden, who's a fake doctor, to literally the classiest woman that has ever lived, please? I mean, Jesus Christ. As a faggot, I cannot co-sign the idea that Jill Biden, who's like a substitute math teacher who, like, Jill Biden should literally be like teaching summer school to like emotionally disturbed children and not, you know, Jackie Kennedy was like Fifth Avenue. I mean, look at that. Get that up, please. That's the difference. There's the difference. There's the difference. To the left, we have the classiest woman who ever lived. To the right, we have a Batman villain. She's dressed like the Riddler or something. So what my whole point here, it's an interesting point. I don't know when he's going to, I've heard he's leaving this week. I heard that last week. I don't really know. I don't really have this insider knowledge about them. I don't know anything about them. I know what trickles down into backyard parties, but that might mean nothing. Everyone kind of hears similar things. But by the way, it's also all in the media. Everything's out there now. Immediately there's the president and his party portray themselves as the saviors of democracy. Their actions say otherwise. And this is The Atlantic?
Economist.
The Economist, yeah. Why Biden must withdraw. The United States media, the U.S. media, is trying desperately to retain a shred of credibility because they have been caught. They have been caught red-handed kind of protecting this family. Because you got to remember, they are in with the Biden. Now they're throwing the Biden. By the way, in the same way that we're now throwing a Ukraine in the street. There's this whole thing now where we're going, Ukraine, you can't join NATO. You're corrupt. Get this up. The Ukraine, This whole thing's been about, like, we're putting them in NATO. It's why Putin went in. Putin doesn't want U.S. NATO weapons systems pointing at Moscow in the Ukraine. Literally, what just happened and is that they do not want Ukraine and NATO. They're saying it's too corrupt. You can look it up, Ukraine NATO membership. They basically just came out and said, hey, man, this was never about supporting the Ukraine, by the way. And the Ukraine's going to learn that. They're going to learn it. They're going to learn the hard way. In the same way that the people of Afghanistan, who are now living under Taliban leadership, have learned that it was really, really never about the people of Afghanistan or the people of Iraq or the people of Vietnam or the people of the Ukraine. Dozens of foreign policy experts on Wednesday called on NATO members to avoid advancing toward Ukrainian membership of the summit, warning that it would endanger the U.S. and allies and rupture the coalition. If Ukraine is admitted, the group argues Russia attacking Ukraine in the future would trigger NATO's Article 5, which calls on all allies to... Well, we know that. But also, they were basically like, they looked at the Ukraine, and they were also, and the Drudge had this, where they looked at the Ukraine and they were like, we all knew the level of corruption in the Ukraine before Russia's invasion. Every media outlet in the world had reported that the Ukraine was so corrupt, so racist, that some the problems were so systemic in that country. Yeah, the Telegraph right here. Ukraine to be told it's too corrupt to join NATO. Ukraine will be told it's currently too corrupt to join NATO in a major blow to Zelensky. But we all knew this. Everyone knew how corrupt this country was before the Russian invasion. Everyone knew how confused and old Biden was. It was just Russia, Putin, Russia. In the same way, it was Trump. Everybody knows. Can you believe the Ukraine is corrupt? That's the next thing someone's going to say. Can you believe this? Eating a crab cake in the July heat. Can you believe the Hawks Tour Girls famous? Can you believe the Ukraine is corrupt? Can you believe Biden is old? Ukraine is too corrupt to join NATO. The U.S. is set to tell leader Zelensky in a major blow to his national security ambitions. The defense bloc will request at its annual summit next week in Washington, D.C. that Ukraine takes additional steps before formal membership talks progress. So we all knew, everybody knew that it's not about. This is about bleeding the Russian military dry. The Ukraine, in 2022, after Ukraine formally applied for EU accession, the EU Commission wrote of Ukraine that while preventing and combating corruption could be particularly high on the Ukrainian reform agenda since the Revolution of Dignity, corruption remains a serious challenge. They're stealing a lot of the money we give them. They're stealing it. It's being stolen. The Ukraine is a State Department money laundering scheme. It's a slush fund. And we're going to throw them away. Zelensky has no idea what's about to happen. We're about to set this pack of bloodthirsty wolves on them. The same way that we're setting them on the Bidens. It's coming. We're about to go. It's going to be like this big about face. I predicted this years ago. I was late. Sometimes the predictions are right. They're a few years early. We're going to turn around. This is the first little idea. We're going to pull out. We're not going to war with Russia. It's not going to happen. We're pulling out. And we're going to start to blame the Ukraine. And by the way, probably correctly. Now, the only reason that it's not correct is that we've been telling the Ukraine to do all of the things it is doing. But we can't blame ourselves. We're not going to come out and say that we told the Ukraine to do all this. We're going to come out and go, the Ukraine is a corrupt country that we can no longer support. We're not admitting them into NATO. And we're sorry about all of that. And then they're going to make a peace deal that they could have made 3.5 years ago. This is exactly what's going to happen. It's the same thing. The media is about to turn on the Ukraine. You feel it. You can feel it. They're about to turn. There's always a moment the media is right about to turn. They turned on the Bidens. The Bidens are like getting in a car. The media is like, yeah, they're like chasing them. Now it's about to happen to the Ukrainian Zelensky. We're about to throw him off the boat because we've had all the fun we can have. The American people are sick of it. They've turned on the war. I'm talking to them. They want out. They know Ukraine can't win. Russia's not going to be humiliated on the world stage. In fact, Russia's doing pretty well. So instead of the U.S. being humiliated on the world stage, we're going to walk this back. And the first step of walking it back is now going, well, the Ukraine's, well, they're corrupt. We can't help them. They're corrupt. Of course, we could have helped them to a glorious victory over Russia, but they're corrupt. We're not going to do it now. So all of this stuff is very interesting to watch. It's very interesting to watch. And someone somewhere in a backyard party somewhere in the Hamptons will be eating a crab cake going, well, do you know how corrupt the Ukraine is? Do you know how corrupt the Ukraine? And no one, and it's just the way it is. So you just can't, you have to enjoy this moment in American history. You cannot stress out. You cannot get revved up. You cannot be like a whirling dervish. You must relax. You must enjoy the moment. You must see all of these things happen. This is why at my father's age, the only way to live will be to kind of be somewhat catatonic, like that husk. That black-eyed nihilist little husk will outlive us all, and that's the reason they always do those husks. They always do. The husks outlive us all. They never get too high or too low. They're never too invested in anything. They're never too emotionally. Every now and then, one of them tries to feel too much, pops a couple of veins with heroin, and checks out. Or they're trying to feel, they fly a plane, and it disappears. Or they, you know, they're doing some, that's why all these rich people die in extreme accidents. They're skiing at 65 miles an hour. They're just trying to feel, they've never been on a public bus. They've never had to drag themselves from one strata of society to another. Their lives are indescribably boring. Indescribably boring. So every now and then one of them dies, climbing a mountain or taking too much OxyContin. But the point is, for the vast majority of these dead-eyed husks, these empty, vessels, per se, they survive, and the reason that they survive and the reason that they continue to sit on their perch in society is because they're just kind of casual about a lot of this stuff, and you have to be casual, too. You have to be casual, too. These are wild times, and crazy things are happening, but the husks, the dead-eyed little nihilists, are pretty casual about it. And I think that's the way you fight back. That's the way you fight back when crazy things happen. You actually must treat them rather casually. It's very interesting. They're never going to go away, these people, years from now. And China will suffer the same fate. You think it's not going to happen to China? Years from now, somewhere in China, there'll be a little husk, a little Chinese husk, sitting in the front seat of a Bentley and be like, that's Wing Chang Ying. I know him. It's what's going to happen. This is just the thing. All empires eventually get to this point where the people that fought and bled for them, the passion that built them kind of dies down. And it's just, it's a waiting game. It's a waiting game. The husks know that at this point in our empire's terminal, sadly, probably decline, it becomes a waiting game. It is not a game of bold moves and bold strokes and vision and all the crap that all the people on the internet tell you that life is about. What it really is a waiting game where you just wait in the recesses, in the dark recesses, to feast on the corpse of whatever the gods offer. That's really what it is. Whoever goes up to the it's no different. It's no different. Whatever we decide to put on the Aztec temple, whosever heart we decide to rip out and devour, it's no different. Little Mabu knows. He knows. Get his lyrics up. Get the Take Your Bitch lyrics up. It's a great primer for the country. I'm Mr. Take Your Bitch, take her on a trip, fly her to New York, sign my name all on her tits. See, that's what it is. That's where we're at. You got to enjoy it. You got to enjoy it. Find a bitch and take her to New York and then write your name on her tits. Find a Jill Biden. Find a woman who will kill you, that will make an Aztec sacrifice in front of the whole world just so she gets treated nicer at dinner parties. Find that woman. But you must enjoy it. I will be going to the Kennedy compound tomorrow. I'll be leaving my family in my home. They know. They know. They get it. They get it. And that's a great American, you know, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, that's the thing here. It's like, you know, we do need these elite families. We do need them to a degree. We just can't have them, you know, we can't totally get rid of them, but we need them to function in a way that makes people go, wow, America's fucking cool. America takes care of its citizens. America, like, is a badass country. You shouldn't fuck with America. But also, America's not like a litter box. We can't have these elite families wall themselves off and give up on this entire country. And too much of that has happened. That's literally the problem. A lot of people just give up. We can't have them give up, but we don't also need like people that are like shocked when that happens, when they do give up. Don't be shocked. Go on about your life. Find what you can find in the rubble here and move on. That's what you have to do. That's all we can do, really. And I'm very excited about some of the things that we have that we can't talk about that are coming. I'm doing shows at West Hampton Pack around Labor Day, the Performing Arts Center in West Hampton, if you care. Who cares? But we're very excited about things that are coming. Salt Lake City, Utah, a few shows there in July just to stay comedically relevant. Salt Lake City, relevant. And that's pretty much the update. We're waiting now. It's a waiting game to see what happens with Biden. If he drops, who will be next? Who's the next person? Who's the next Aztec sacrifice? Look at her. Do a close-up on Jill. Get a close-up on her. No one really understands this woman. It's but I do. Finally, she's at the apex of her power. She's walking this corpse from room to room. This woman is not going to stop. She can't. She cannot afford to. That family cannot afford. He's going to have to be dragged out of this race. They're going to have to drag him out of this race. They don't want what's coming next. They're fearful and scared about what's coming next. You can see in her eyes. Do a close-up on her eyes. You can tell a lot by the eyes. That's why I wear sunglasses. I don't want you near me. I want you people near me. There's a darkness there. There's a real darkness in her. She was up at that fundraiser. She's going, and when he proposed to me. Now, by the way, when she's talking about 40 fucking years. I mean, she is talking at that fundraiser about something that happened in the, you know, it's like the Mesozoic era. I mean, look at her on the cover of Vogue. Man, a Vogue cover will ruin someone, huh? On the cover of Vogue, we will decide our future. Just a cover of Vogue. The First Lady, Jill Biden. We will decide our future. So funny. Well, the boomers have one last dance. They have one last dance on the ashes of the country. You got to give it to them. They're going to have to be dragged out. They're going to have to send in the sheriff to drag them out. When you get evicted, they send the sheriff in and knocks on the door and they go, you got to go. They're going to have to do that with these people. Darkness. Darkness behind her eyes. But you got to respect it as well. You got to respect it because she's only playing her position. She's got to kill this guy in front of everybody. She's got to kill him. And then we will actually almost forgive her. But she must kill him. If she kills him, it will be okay. We love a state funeral. We love a state funeral. We love a state funeral. A nice speech. Obama would, I mean, amazing how the speech that Obama will give at Biden's funeral could change this whole thing. She's got to kill her husband in the next 48 hours.